Welcome to Brands Made Meaningful, conversations with the team at Sussner about how purposeful branding inspires unity, identity, and powerful change for growth-minded organizations.
Derek, I want to talk about how we move through ecosystem branding, which sounds super complex and hard, but I want to talk about it for private clubs today. So the note on the high level is we're going to talk about tournaments and how can we leverage tournaments to help us connect with different members and leverage that in different ways.
When you say ecosystem, you know, we've used the term brand architecture before.
Yeah.
We've talked about overall comprehensive brand identity system.
Yep.
So there's probably a primary logo. There are additional graphics, there's supportive components, pieces, language, et cetera. There's a whole system that builds this brand. But within that ecosystem, we want to hone in specifically on this very one component and talk about how it fits, what it means, why you do it, why it matters.
Yep. This is something we've leveraged with clients on a big scale, like big sporting goods clients or maybe huge private club clients. And this has really come back to say you don't need to have a massive brand to leverage an ecosystem that makes you feel like, wow, I'm really a part of blank club's world. This is all feel very familiar. It's all underneath the same story. And so what we do is a lot of our conversations start with a club around their master brand. What is it all about? What are we trying to do? What's our large strategy here? What's the story we're trying to tell from the club 130,000 foot view is basically where we talk about the master
brand. Top of Mount Everest.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about the master brand as like, what is your primary logo? What are your primary message components that maybe land on the homepage? Like, what are some of those pieces that your master brand has control over? And then what is our strategy for our brand from a high level is where we start a lot of conversations. But not all clubs need to completely redo their entire identity, or maybe they have a great strategy, or maybe they've already worked through all of that. Just to say, there's plenty of times where we work through a club and it's like, okay, now what? And this ecosystem is really interesting on how we ladder down that master brand and that identity and that strategy down into the different areas and the events that the club has. I mean, there's so many different touch points a club has, whether it's big, small, or indifferent, that can really tell its own story in unique, cool ways.
There's a reason why clubs have events. There's a reason why they have tournaments, and it's not about raising funds. Most member events oftentimes come with an additional fee, come with additional price, and sure, there's a financial impact to the club. But the real reason why clubs host events, especially tournaments, is to get their members involved, to have their members feel included, to give their members that feeling of a sense of belonging.
Yeah. Unity, right? To like not only be belong to something, but also feel like I'm a part of it, but I'm also inviting other people to be a part of it. So to unite each other in different ways is a great opportunity.
Well, let's dig in because I'm already jumping ahead into some of the conversation pieces.
So why does all of this matter? Why would we look at, and tournaments is just an example. Mm-hmm. We're going to use tournaments today to talk about, well, if we're going to dive into this ecosystem, a lot of clubs have tournaments. So it's an easy first step to say, what tournaments are we doing? What is all of this? But if I was to back up and go, private clubs have tons of passionate people. That's the one thing I can say is common across every single private club we work with.
They're emotionally invested.
Yeah, absolutely.
And financially invested.
And financially,
they're emotional.
So from a 30,000 foot view, most of the members of a given club are similar. They have similar preferences. They probably have similar demographics. Maybe they come from the same area. And so there's some of those similarities that we gravitate towards when we talk about the master brand. But really, when you dive into it, private clubs are built with what I'm calling pockets of memberships. There's these people who maybe they have a passion for a certain amenity or a certain activity rather than a different one. Or maybe these are the people who have a different idea of like what relax means. Like to relax me might be playing tennis, to relax you might be sitting by the pool.
They have their own identities.
Absolutely.
They have their own identities. They have their own, we might call them cliques or groups or pockets of things specifically inside that club that they identify with you know, we know people in clubs that have a killer golf course, but they don't play golf.
Yeah.
They identify with tennis. They are there and they self-identify as tennis players.
Yeah. So what we try to do from a master brand standpoint is look at what are the similarities across all of them that we could tell a story that kind of resonates with everybody. But when you get down into these tournaments, for example, or these events, you can really let those nuances shine that gives those pockets of members footholds within your identity to make them really gravitate towards something. Maybe there's a once a year member tournament that they love being a part of and they love the tradition of it and they love all those things. How can we enhance that experience from a brand side so that they feel like, wow, this is really for me? That's really our goal within that ecosystem, is to give everyone throughout the club a place to land.
For some clubs that we've worked with, we've actually designed member-only logos.
Yeah.
Where for that club's culture, it was really important in that emotional investment with that membership that they identify as members of that club separately from the sort of outward-facing or guest-facing brand, the master brand. Mm-hmm. It was a special additional way for them to have something on their sleeve that says, I'm a member here. I don't just belong here, but again, it's back to enhancing that feeling of belonging for that membership. We had a conversation with another club about potentially creating a member-only logo for them, and they said absolutely not.
It's not a part of their strategy.
That's not who we are.
It's just not, like, if you look at, and it's funny how many answers you can find by just going, what are we trying to create? What perception are we trying to create? Okay, here's what we're going to do about that. And so member-only logos is absolutely a part of that conversation. But really what I think it comes down to is back to the original goal of all of our branding is authenticity, relevance, and surprise. If we think about that, how can we do that from the members at large? That's great. Here's the general way of doing it. And then how can we narrowly do that for a select group of people that might participate in this one event once a year? How do we build authenticity around this event? How do we build relevance just for these people that participate? Maybe it's a tennis tournament and they're all in on this one nuance that the way they play tennis at this club is like this. How do we leverage that so that feels like, wow, this is really us? And then bring that to the forefront in a really exciting, delightful way is that surprising nature that makes someone go, I can't even believe they would put the effort and the time into building a story around something like this. This is awesome.
That's why what we're not talking about today is our tournament logos. We're talking about tournament brands.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like your business, just like your marketing plan, having a brand in place then gives you the story to tell that will attract people to this event, that help people understand why this, what this event is, who it's for, who it's not for. I mean, it's a mini positioning exercise.
Absolutely. It is. They're all like, here's our large position, but if you're going to ask me, and I would challenge everybody, is you can always go more narrow. There's always an opportunity to go more narrow. And so whether it's a tournament like we're talking about today, or we've done it with clients to say, what does your youth program look like? And what does it sound like? And what story does that tell from a variation of what your large story is? What unique angle can we take on this one is really the way that we can delight the pockets individually. So think about that, like what your youth members want, right? Like the children of your club want are very different than what the paying front members want. So we need to build a brand that is generally for everyone, but that nuanced small pocket can really be delighted in a different way, but it all feels cohesive and feels like it's a part of the same world.
An example outside of the club world are the professional sports teams that we work with. And I'm thinking of the Minnesota Vikings in particular have identified 6 very distinct subsets of fans.
I think it's 7 now.
It is growing. I know they continue to analyze that, especially with the new generation coming.
Yeah.
And what they've clarified are the nuances of what is important to each of these different subsets. So imagine, you know, I know we're not talking about teams today, but imagine in those conversations for your club to identify, it might not be 7, but to identify those different subsets of members and profile them so that you know what each of those groups wants
and what's important to them. Yeah, and how do you build things, activities, events, whatever for them is the challenge that they're up against, right? So if we have these seven, but we have training camp, how does training camp speak to each one of these in a different way? And how do we get them to be involved? And which one's going to be more involved and which one's not? And just to understand.
And most teams brand training camp. And most teams will brand the draft and most because they know there are certain subsets that that's maybe the most important thing to them for that entire season.
So bringing this back to private clubs, the way that we can be successful is by taking those, I would call it retail mindsets that we can have from a brand perspective and saying you as a private club are much more than just a place for people to hang out. You are an experience. You are a lifestyle. How do we leverage that? Leverage the attention that you have. And I think there's a lot of people now that go, attention is everything. So if you can get someone at your club and have them be engaged and want to be there, then you've already done the hard work. Now it's time just to leverage that engagement in a billion different ways. And that's where we're coming in with, let's do this in a unique way. Let's do it so that someone who goes to your event, if it's a member guest event, that guest comes here and they go, whoa, like I know every year that I go there that I'm at this club because they do this this way. And that makes me feel like I'm a part of something, even though I might not be a member.
But they may become a member.
I know.
Because that you when you provide that great of a meaningful, memorable experience that really lands the touch points of what that specific type of potential member wants, especially if they're friends with the guest who brought them. I mean, make no mistake, member guests are recruiting events. They're marketing, networking opportunities to grow brand awareness.
We had a client the other day that said our member guest is the commercial for our club, which I think is a great way of looking at it. So what do you do when you're trying to do a commercial? Well, you build a campaign and you understand the themes and you understand how it looks and how it sounds and what we're trying to do here. And that type of thought process can really benefit a club when it comes to building an event that not only resonates, but feels so uniquely your club that people inside and outside just want to be a part of it.
If I'm the GM of a club and there's one that we work with that has one monumental tournament a year, and that's the only one that they really care about. It's the one they put all their investment in.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound like that overwhelming of a prospect.
No.
But another club that we work with has six or seven tournaments, especially when you have the men's versions and the women's versions. Branding seven different events, golf events only, just golf tournaments, might sound a little bit overwhelming. What's a first step that they can do?
When you have a lot is what you're going at. When you have a lot of tournaments, and we're not even going to get into the events and the amenities and like those things, but like just the tournaments for right now. Say you have six or seven tournaments. What I would do is I'd put them all out on a piece of paper and I'd go, which ones are our most attended? Which ones are our least attended? Which ones have the biggest value to us as is? What are most engaged and what are least engaged? And then I would try it with two out of, let's say, six. I would try with two to really tell a unique story. I would do the least attended one. How can we make people interested in this would be my conversation with them. Whether we have to change the format, whether we have to pull in certain nuances, whatever that is, to say, what can we do from a brand perspective to get people really engaged with this one? And then the one that has the highest ROI for your club or the highest impact or whatever you want to call it, I would look at that and say, what is great about this club that we can enhance even more and bring to the forefront to give people that lasting memory? And so if we come with those two, that's where I would start. I wouldn't go with all six right away because you don't know what you don't know at this point. You can see the impact as into maybe your club resonates more with the traditional way of going about it. And so you're going to say, okay, well, we're just going to really focus on branding the events and tournaments that are less attended. Or maybe you're saying that doesn't really affect our club, but they love when we give them more merch for the events that they already do attend, and it's unique and it's us and it's different. So we're going to lean on those. And I think that there is no one perfect strategy for these things, but to start with the worst and the best, or the least attended and the most attended, that would be a good way I would start, just kind of A/B testing that.
And to even go one step further backwards, it's basically I would follow the same process that we would implement in branding anything, but just in a mini version.
Absolutely.
Do a little bit of discovery, understand who's the audience, what do they want, what do they care about, what's working, what's not working.
In my opinion, every tournament should have a mini story about it. Like, why is this important to our club? What are we trying to accomplish here? And what kind of atmosphere are we trying to create? Just that like mini strategy around it can really impact how your team goes about building that, right? And gets it clearer to say, oh, well, maybe we should have live music this year at this one because of X, because it makes sense within what we're trying to do.
Having a strategy gives you something to anchor all of those considerations and decisions. Should we have a live band? Absolutely, because this event is about X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And that's a critical part. The name of the event, maybe the name of the event could be something that is more authentic and relevant to our membership and more specific to us versus just the generic club championship, etc.
Yep. And some people will roll their eyes and be like, God, we need all that just for a tournament. Think about when you onboard new members, just in general, like they come on and they don't know anything. They don't know this, that, or indifferent. And you're really trying to focus on, we have this opportunity to build this tournament up. Well, if that tournament has a story and it's compelling, some people will gravitate towards it naturally because they're like, well, that sounds really cool. Like, I would love to participate in that. If you don't give anyone anything, just a, hey, figure it out as you go, that's not going to be the best way to tailor that perception as you go. Then it's just going to be whatever it can be without you having a say in what you want it to be. And that's where we get into this. You're just throwing darts into what this tournament is.
Yep.
Has potential to be.
It's back to make it meaningful, just like your master brand. Make it strategic, make it thoughtful. It doesn't have to be incredibly complex, but when you make it meaningful, you make it memorable, you make it desirable, you delight the members. I mean, if you're working at a club, you are probably in the hospitality industry, right?
For sure.
In some way, shape, or form, you're trying to make this a better experience for your members, and this is a really easy sort of common sense way to crush it.
It's not that hard. It's about that delight in an unexpected way. I would tell you most members would not expect you to have like, wow, you guys are really, really pulling this thing together. That's impactful when you talk about how much most of these, the financial, I wouldn't say burden, but the financial investment that they put into a club, to give them things like the master brand, I would say is expected from the new generation. The tournament brands and all of these other things, those are unexpected moments of delight that I think sticks with them as they make decisions on, wow, should we keep going? What do we want to do this weekend? What do I want to attend that event? When they're looking 6 months out and this event is 6 months out, maybe they block their calendar because they're like, wow, that looks really cool. I think I want to give it another shot. So there's some of those things that I think that we can be more purposeful. We can be more meaningful, as you would say. That really helps us pull in that story in all the little cracks and crevices within our brand ecosystem.
And you'll probably get a nice little boost in merch
sales. It does not hurt to talk about the merchandising that is, So that's the cherry on top, right? We don't lead with that because it's like, if you're just doing this for merchandising, you're not going to get everything you want out of it. But you do see a lot of people saying, wow, we have this really well thought out tournament and everyone buys the merchandise because they love it and they want to be a part of it. And that's just this great, cherry on top.
So to wrap this up, back to what we said at the beginning, narrow in on each of these events. If you only have one, really hone in on what it is, who it's for, what's unique about it, so that you can build that story that helps make it even more special than it might be today.
If I was in the GM's chair, or if I was a CMO of a club, right, I would look at all of our different membership types, not just the way they pay, not just like, oh, are you an athletic member or a golf member or whatever. I would look at our personas and say, what are the types of people that are members here? Which ones are our biggest detractors? And try to build something for them first. That's a really interesting way to start bringing some of those detractors into promoters to say, you might not love every single angle of this club, and that's okay, but you're really going to love this because we're going to build it just for you. And that's a way that they can grow that membership loyalty in different ways that maybe, and as it, well, it's a less intrusive way of doing it than completely rebranding the whole club.
I love that idea. I think it's very smart I think it's typical for us to lean into what's working and just either take it for granted or maybe try to make it work even better. That's easy. Those are our promoters. How do we, and it is important to keep our promoters happy. That's why earlier you said your advice would be to look at the best attended one, see what's working and how can we make it even better. But if we can take some of those detractors or some of the people that are less involved, less emotionally invested, figure out a way to bring them into the fold, get them excited, and to give them something that's important to you. Worst case, you realize you now have an event you can take off next year's calendar.
Absolutely.
Best case, you engage this group of people.
Yeah, and they love it. Yeah, and I think that's what you're playing with here. If you're a GM, you know you're in the business of making people love what you do, right? So if they love your club, then you are in the green. You are winning. Don't be afraid to have fun with tradition. That is what I think holds a lot of clubs back. They have this sentiment of, God, we've just always done it like this, and the members like that. And it's like, yeah, but they might not know what they don't know. They've never experienced having a really well-branded tournament that has all of this storyline and all of this visual interest to it. They've never had that. So how would they know if they like it or not? If you've never eaten applesauce, you don't know if you like it or not.
I do not like applesauce.
I know you don't like applesauce. That's why I use that one. I just don't think you've tried it yet. I think that what a lot of clubs can do is do testing. Try. Don't test like survey. Just try new things. Try to explore outside your traditional way of doing it from a visual brand side. You're going to find that members are going to be like, whoa, this is really fresh and exciting for me versus being upset. And there will be those who are upset. And you think you're going to have to live with that.
Yeah, not everybody likes change. but when change is done right and when it's done thoughtfully and when it turns some detractors into promoters and enhances the overall experience and membership and sense of belonging of your membership, then you're doing it right.
This is a good conversation. I really like these conversations.
The applesauce open. You can take that if you want.
Yeah. You won't attend though.
Depends. Depends. I don't know what it's about yet.
Serve. Yeah. All right. Thanks for the conversation. Until next time.
Next time.
Thanks.
Susner is a branding firm specializing in helping companies make a meaningful mark, guiding marketing leaders who are working to make their brand communicate better, stand out, and engage audiences to grow their business. For more on Susner, visit Susner.com.